Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the A New Day show and happy pre-Valentine's Day. You still have maybe 8 or 10 hours if you don't have a Valentine's yet to go out and find one so you can have a Valentine tomorrow. And while you are at it, would you find me one as well? Well, I tell you, I'm getting so excited about the Sunday segments of the A New Day show because they have truly been such a blessing. You know, so far we are just going across country and even overseas because our first guest was a lady from Jamaica, and then our second guest was the Mrs. Asia USA. Then we went into Florida. And then, what did we do? Last week, I think I did a show on healing, I think, by myself. And tonight, you are up for an amazing treat. My honored guest who has been hanging out in the virtual dream room, green room, and we have been chatting away, checking the sounds, and to make sure everything is lush and ready. And, of course, for those of you who have been reading the blog, know that I'm speaking of none other than Michael Kay. And you all know that he's the man behind At Home with Victoria. And he's just an amazing person. I have not met him personally, but I was privileged to speak with him on the telephone. And he became my Facebook friend, and he is just a bundle of joy. So I'm excited about today's show. Michael has agreed to come on and share his story. And for those of you who have been listening to the show knows that the Sunday segment deals with overcoming adversities. Or if you're someone have a story that you invent your life or any other life issues on a Sunday, that's what we deal with. So sit, grab your coffee, grab your tea, grab your water, sit back, get your pen and pad, because I know there will be some insights that you want to jot down. And as always, you can call us, and the number is 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. And of course, the chat room is up, and I want to see you in there. So hop on in. Let's have some fun. I want to thank Cheryl Woods for grabbing the first chair in the front. I love and honor you, my sister. I want to welcome Barben. I think it's your first time to the show. Not sure. But would you all stop by afterwards in that comments part under where you have all the membership? Would you all stop there and let me know your thoughts on the show? I mean, hey, everybody needs a little pat on the back, and I am no exception. And, of course, my honored guests, Michael K. And Stephen McGroy. Thank you, Stephen, for coming on. Stephen happens to be Michael's significant other. And at home with Victoria, thank you, news lady, for coming. What a lineup. What a privilege. What an opportunity. And without any further delay, I want to welcome my distinguished honored guest, Mr. Michael K. Michael, welcome to the A New Day Show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. That was the first introduction I've ever received. So it was so beautiful. I'm so super touched. And thank you so much again for having me on.
Oh, it's such a blessing to have you, and I want to thank you for your willingness to join us this evening, because, you know, Sunday evenings are our special times, and I am just so excited that God moved me to start a Sunday segment, because they are so distinctly different, you know? The stories that are just coming out, the people that are coming out, are just amazing, amazing, amazing people. I have watched you support Victoria on At Home with Victoria, and I watched you in the chat room on Wednesday when she was on the show, and you have brought so much energy to that room. And I said, what a skill and what a talent. But all, I want to just go publicly and say thank you for supporting the sister, because not a lot of men can work with strong women. And you do that so well in supporting Victoria. So I just want to say kudos to you, my brother.
Well, thank you very much. I somehow think of myself as a strong black woman myself. So we get along very well that way.
You know, we can end the show right now, and you would have given them enough. Michael, you know, once you go black, you don't go back. So you better make sure when you do the switch, you want to stay, my brother.
That is good information. I will certainly remember that.
Michael K., would you please tell the world who you really are?
Oh, wow, Daphne. Let's start right there, who I really am.
The beginning, the humble growing up in Canada and all of that stuff.
Very. I grew up in a small town in southern Saskatchewan by the name of Priestville, Saskatchewan. It is a population of about 1,240 people, of mostly grain farmers, hunters, trappers, fishermen, and the like and stuff. We have 8 months of winter. The winters are very, very tough, and growing up in a small town was certainly something, because, of course, I was this little gay kid in this school of very manly men. So, quite frankly, growing up was good. My parents had a restaurant named Lakeview Drive-In, and so I was part of a restaurant family from the age of 7 to the age of 18. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Anybody who has been a parent, or a child of a parent who owns a restaurant knows that is a 24-hour 7 job.
Oh yes.
You just run ragged. So. Mm-hmm. Did that till 18, then moved to the capital city. Regina is about a city of size of 175,000. It's a little bit mm-hmm. bigger, and that's where I got my hair license. Mm-hmm. And then moved to Vancouver and got a job with the Elizabeth Arden Red Door Spa and Salon there, and eventually started as towel boy and worked my way up to style director. And then from there on, I had met a friend of mine in Delaware here, Stephen McGraw, who's now my partner of 13 years. Mm-hmm. And we met in Vegas, and I moved here to Delaware, and where I became the general manager of the Bala Cynwyd Red Door mm-hmm. and the King of Prussia Red Door. So mm-hmm. for a small boy from Saskatchewan, my graduating class was 32 people.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, it was a
really
very,
small.
Very tiny. Yes. Oh, like you have mm-hmm. no idea. So, yeah, I think I really learned a lot, and I think I did not too bad for myself.
So you won real big when you went to Vegas, huh?
Well, I did in so many ways and won. Absolutely, that's a good point.
Yes, yes, you went big. Did you realize you were going to win that big when you went to Vegas?
I did not. You know, as you know, life is almost a crapshoot. You just got to open your eyes and pay attention and see what's around
that's
every
right.
corner.
That's right. Isn't yeah. that something? Is that something?
Yeah.
That is something powerful that you just said, because you know something? A lot of times people are sitting down and they say, oh, I'm waiting on opportunity to knock. And, mm-hmm. you know, I always say opportunity been banging, but hey, you're too busy not listening.
That's
because
a very good point, yeah.
We are so busy going, and we don't spend enough time being still that we can get the clarity and the revelation of what's going on. And because we are so busy, we keep tripping over our own feet, and we miss a lot of the blessings that is supposed to come our way.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I don't think we're actually trained to look for them. I think that's the thing that happens with, you know, I grew up, I mean, I was born in 69, so it was 42 right now. It was a different era. The work ethic was so strong back when I was mm-hmm. growing up that's where I think the focus got changed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Canada,
mm-hmm.
Canada's a little bit different, though, too, because Canada really applauds the downtime. I mean, we have
yes.
three weeks paid vacation per year on your first year, not just, you know, 3 days.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a little more subjective, to the point where you're not living to work, you're working to live. So
it's
the focus changes a little bit, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Victoria. And I'm learning to multitask, because, as everyone know, I don't multitask too well. So I'm not seeing what's in the chat room, but I just glanced over there, and Victoria just commended me on the point that I just brought up. So thank you. Coming from you, my sister, it means a lot.
Yeah, now, we got all the girls in chat.
I'm telling you, we got to get some more people. They better call some men up in there so they can rock the house. And
you know,
I want them to know that the line is open, too. So I appreciate them in the chat room, but I love to hear their voice on the phone as well. And the number is 646-915-8166. And I forgot to mention, we got into yapping, and I forgot to mention that I was broadcasting today from Brooklyn, New York. So, Toby and I, we are down here having a good old time with family. After the funeral, I did not go back. You all know that my auntie's husband died, and this past Friday, and was the service and the wake, and then we had the burial yesterday morning. So I've met some cousins that I had not seen in 50 years, and met some that I didn't know. So this has been a powerful, powerful weekend for me. So I'm excited about that. Michael, you mentioned about being a boy growing up in Canada and the only gay boy in a school of manly men.
Mm-hmm.
At what age did you know you were gay?
I think the age of 5 was when I first had the idea that certainly I was looking at things probably I shouldn't be looking at. You know, I was looking at
mm-hmm.
the underwear catalog and Sears
mm-hmm.
catalog too long. So it
mm-hmm.
was then that I knew. I think everybody really who is, I think they intrinsically know it, just depending
mm-hmm.
on whether or not you tend to act on it. It's difficult to act on it in a small town just because of
right.
the
right.
current stigmas and stuff. I mean,
right.
I look around now at kids, and there's actually schools with GLBT programs based within the school system. So kids 10, 11, and 12
mm-hmm.
are actually becoming more open that way, and everybody's a lot more tolerant. Back then, it wasn't like that at all. It was still pretty much, keep your mouth shut or learn to run really fast.
Okay, amazing, amazing. I'm asking that question because I've had numerous conversations with parents of children, both male and female, and the parents have their suspicions, and they'll ask the kids, and you know all the stereotypes that they have surrounding, and they will work on assuring or reassuring this kid, I love you in spite of. It doesn't matter what you choose, whether you're gay, whether you're lesbian or what, you are my child, and I'm going to love you in spite of. However, the kids are still struggling in saying what they are feeling, and I think it is because of the pressure that society puts on.
Yeah.
Being different,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, again, it's a commonality. People don't like change. People don't like something different and everything. We just did a show Thursday night with Mike Ruiz and Button Stixon about this very topic of bullying and stuff. And granted, I was bullied, too. I mean, I think kind of everybody is at certain points being, you know, gay. I mean, everybody seemed to know I was gay except me at that point. I didn't know what the word meant. So everybody knew that I was just this, you know, entity that was a little bit off kind of a thing. But quite frankly, I didn't really have a problem with it at all because bullying back then was a little bit different. Sure, you got the crap kicked out of you maybe in school and stuff, but when you got home, that bullying filter was off kind of a thing because your parents didn't bully you kind of a thing. It was just the school stage. With now with social media such as MySpace, Facebook, Twitter and stuff, the bullying can be nonstop. And I think that's what the difference is right now with children. So many children go ahead and committing suicide and for nothing, for no reason. I don't understand how you could let someone get to you that way. You'd have to have some kind of internal strength to really be the facilitator of your own life.
Yes, Michael, but, you know, it's easier said than done. It's like talking about a woman who is being abused, and we who are on the outside, the first thing that comes out of our mouths are, why doesn't she leave?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, easy for you to say when you take up a towel to leave with and somebody's telling you they're going to come to your job and they're going to kill all your co-workers. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, I don't want my co-workers to be murdered. So therefore, you stay there because you're thinking, I want to keep my co-workers safe. So it's a catch-22.
It is.
Oh.
It is, and it's knowing the difference of when to be, when is enough enough. I mean, I have talked to many people about even divorce on this topic, about everybody staying together for the children to make sure the children are happy. The children realize something is wrong, too, so staying together for your children doesn't work well either because the children sniff that something's up. So, again, it's that fact that you got to be true to yourself, you got to be quiet enough inside your head to ask for the answer because the answers are there. I can't stress that more prevalent because it gets to the point where that is your salvation and you end up trusting that instinct and that's what defines and determines a new path for you. It's a different way of thinking.
That's right. Let's talk about your parents. At what age did you break the news to them and what kind of a support or what happened when you broke that news to them?
Well, you know, I remember the night very well. I was 17 years old. I was graduating from high school, and there had been, oh, God, this is really, okay, let's just go there and see what happens. Anyways, so there was this couple that ended up renting our restaurant. Mother was getting kind of sick with all the deep fryer grease and everything like that, so she had to take a back seat and stuff. So we decided to go ahead and rent out the restaurant to this couple from Regina who were two gay males, one of whom was kind of, you know, attractive, and I was 17, and, you know, I never had any experience. So quite frankly, something did happen, and apparently it got around the small town faster than anything like that. So my dad actually came home. It was a Friday evening, and we were sitting down at the dinner table, and my dad just came out and asked me, are you gay?
Wow.
So you didn't
and
have
my,
to tell him.
My,
right.
Then my mother threw the flowers on the table at him and started swearing and hysterical. And then after everything kind of calmed down, we just said, yes, this is what mm-hmm. happened. And this is what I am. So don't
yes.
know what you're going to do with it. And, of course, mother exactly. thinks it's her fault. Dad thinks it's his fault. It's no one's fault. It's genetics. It's what happens. It's,
right.
I want to put that to rest right here. Mom,
right.
you didn't do anything wrong. Dad, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just what happened.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Because, you know, I have two friends who is really, one is struggling more than the other. Two parents of two separate young women.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really struggling with what's happening to their daughters. And as a friend, I said to them, regardless of what you do, I'm not going to tell you to get whole, not get holy, not get spiritual, not read the entire Bible in 7 days. That would probably be a good thing for you. I say, I cannot tell you any of those things. The one thing I can tell you is that I don't want you to lose your child in the process.
Right.
Be the mother, regardless. Whether she's lesbian or she's not, be her mother. And out of that love, you can get the revelation that is needed. So, with that has been said, you the one brought us up and we went there and we are through with that.
Absolutely.
So, age 17, that happened and you have reinvented your life. You have not stopped climbing the ladder. You worked for some of the most prestigious stylists in America, didn't you?
I have. My partner Steve was actually one of the top 13 hairstylists in America in the year 2000, named by Allure magazine. Here's some fancy stuff. I mean, we did the Oscar de la Renta fashion show, trunk show in Ballykinwood, Pennsylvania, with Oscar de la Renta there. That was a pretty fantastic point in my life, and worked with some of the best hairstylists. Did platform work for Paul Mitchell and Redken, and I've been pretty, pretty blessed. Became a Core 2 trainer for Elizabeth Arden Corporation, and eventually into Core 1. So I was traveling to train different stylists, different managers, different clienteling treatments to different salons. So it's been a really blessed life. I'm very, very thrilled with it.
Yes, you know, you do everything with class and style, and I tell you, I'm gonna have to be very nice to you because you only roll with the best of the best. The best of the best. So everywhere I go, I'm going to have to start dropping the name Michael K. and hope that somebody will help a sister out.
You know what? I'll bring a box of wine, then we'll absolutely have a good time.
That's right. When did you realize you had an interest in radio?
Back in Vancouver, when I was working in Vancouver, I was kind of wanting to get out of hair, so I kind of approached one of the local radio schools that everybody was coming out of, and actually took the test, did my audition tape, did my writing on it, and was accepted, but student loans in Canada are handed out very infrequently, so I couldn't go ahead and get the funding, which mm-hmm. turned out a week later I had moved to Delaware, so it was just everything that was happening at the same time. So, but back then I've always loved radio more than television, really, because mm-hmm. I think radio tells a better story. You
right.
get to close your eyes, you get to go ahead and catch the inflections, because it's not really, you know, it's how someone says something, whether or not if you want to buy it or if you want to trust
right.
them as being you know, God's truth and stuff, because sometimes when you see on television and stuff like that, people can put on a few airs where it kind of gets, you know, cloudy. Radio, you can tell the voice, you can identify with the soul, so it's a little different.
That was powerful. That was powerful. Because, I strongly feel the same way. I don't think, and I have a cable TV show too, so I'm not hitting it. But I really think there's more authenticity in the radio. Because you know, you don't have any opportunity to touch it up. It is what it is.
You can't put makeup on the soul, you know what I mean? And I think that's what comes through.
That's right. The soul is pure, it's authentic, it is unique. And what you hear is what you get. What you hear is what you get. When you entered cosmetology school, as you went through your training, what was the ratio of male to female that were students there?
Canada's a little bit different. We were about 60-40, 60% women, 40% male. There was a lot of males that were going through it at that time. It's a little more of an extensive program, I think. There it's 1,750 hours, and then you have to actually apprentice under a journeyman for 2 years before you actually can even apply for your license. So the training period is about 3 years, so it's a little different. It's a little quirky, but... I really wanted to be an actor, singer, dancer, but I had to put food on the table.
That's
and
right.
I thought, well, my grandmother was a hairstylist, my great grandfather was a hairstylist, so I thought, let's go ahead and see what happens here. So it turned out really well. I really ended up liking it, and quite frankly, I'm proud to say I'm kind of good at it. So
did you get any flack from the ladies that were in your class?
Oh, no, not at all. No. I had the school I went to was Richard's Beauty College in Regina, Saskatchewan, and the school was fantastic. It was more of an academy. And, once you entered the hair school, you just expect gays everywhere, so everything was, you know, normal.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you said that. A few months ago, I had one of the top chefs here in Connecticut on my show, and he is from Barbados. And he was telling me that when he was going to high school there, back then they used to call it home economics. They weren't calling it culinary arts.
Right.
And he said, no, people always point at him and giggle when he was going to home ec. But he said when the chicken came out of the oven or it finished frying and the cake baked, he had a lot of friends. And one of his schoolmates called in from Barbados and spoke on the air to say that was indeed true. And so you have to follow your heart, you know?
Absolutely.
Have to follow your heart and do what you want to do. I want to take this opportunity to welcome Goofy Boone and guest number 17-17985. And remember, you can call in. Let me hear from you. Hey, call Michael and say something. Say a little something to the brother. The number.
Absolutely. Come on, Goofy Bone. Daphne, I hate to interrupt you. Goofy Bone is a fantastic radio show host. He also has a radio show here on Blog Talk Radio starting up again in May. But Goofy Bone, my friend, I mean, I've called your show drunk a few times. So, you know, give a call.
And Michael, I'm so happy you stayed sober for me.
Thank you. Well, you know, I usually do, Goofy's show is from 12 till 1, so Michael's having it all, you know,
okay.
It's no secret that I've had a couple Chardonnay at that time, not before 9 o'clock. I have to still function. Plus, I'm getting too old to drink. It's one of those things where it's like a couple glasses and I'm under the table.
Oh, you're never too old for a good glass of wine.
Oh, I know. I love it.
You know. And Stephen, hey, tell Stephen, call and say something. He probably has some dirt on you he want to spill, so...
He's not allowed to call.
Call and spill it all. And spill it all. You all hear my auntie there in the background, right? She didn't realize I was on. Anyway. And my cousin, too, from Florida, she's listening to the show for the first time. So
welcome.
We're here with family. We're here with family. So call, let me hear from you guys, and say something to Michael. I mean, everybody needs a little pat on the back. Everybody needs a little pat on the back. So, again, the number is 646-915-8155. 8166. I just gave them the wrong number. I'm telling you. 646-915-8166. And I wasn't drinking no Chardonnay or nothing.
I don't know if I'm buying that, honey.
I had a little rum punch earlier on. You know rum punch, Michael?
I'm very familiar with rum punch. I'm a big fan of Montego Bay.
Mm-hmm. I know. You had some good rum punch. Because they have to start giving you rum punch early so you get drunk, so you spend a lot of money at the hotels. That's what they do. Anyway. Now, you're writing a book, right?
Pardon me?
Are you working on a book?
You know what? I've just finished. I'm working on... Oh, how did you find this out? Yeah, I just finished...
High places.
I'm working on first stage edits right now. I finished it now, and it's at the editor. It came back from the editor, and I'm just now working on first stage edits. So it'll be exciting to go ahead and finish.
Wonderful. Well, let's hope you're going to come back and talk to us here when the book is ready. What is the name of it? Are you prepared to say that?
The name of it is The Cost of Living.
Cost of Living. Wonderful. So we are going to look forward to reading that. And if you just join us, I am in conversation with Mr. Michael Kay out of Delaware. And Catherine Tuttle, I want to welcome you to the show. I think you are a first-time listener. And I thank you for your support. So come on, get the phone lines busy here. Let me hear from you. So are you still working as a cosmetologist or stylist, Michael?
No, I'm not, actually. Around 6 years ago, Steve took ill, and the salon I was working for had actually closed the location. So I basically took early retirement just because it was kind of just easier to do that and take care of Steve. Steve has secondary progressive multiple sclerosis and was diagnosed 7 years ago, and within a year went from working full-time to a power chair. So it was a very aggressive disease, and it was... It was a curse and a blessing all at the same time. It was, I think the learning was too much at the time, but okay. Having 6 years to learn about it, it actually turned out to be the best thing that happened to both of us. So it's one of those situations where it's, you know, it smells like crap, but it's actually a pearl kind of a thing. It's jarring, but all good.
Yes.
So now I just I take care of Steve. I work on the radio show, and then I have a couple friends that come over once in a while, and we play hairdo, and I get my fix that way. I still love the industry, but everything changes.
Have you ever done any black hair? Because you can always practice on what I have left, you know.
You know, I've worked on black hair a lot. You know, black hair is, to me, an art form. I know some of the best black artists, hair artists in the world, and what they do truly to the black hair is amazing. I don't have the patience for it. It takes too long. I like, medium length fine hair is my favorite. You can make it look like anything, and it's easily done.
I am so insulted, but it's a good thing I love you. I won't take it personally.
Oh, you know what I mean. It's just so time. It takes so much time, and it's so easy to burn. You know what I mean? Like you have to know what you're doing with that.
I know. I want to welcome Kelly Hughes Whitney to the show. Michael, it looks like you bringing out the best. You bringing out some folks I never saw before, but I welcome you all.
I'm really touched, Daphne. These are really kind of all of my friends. It's thank you all. Thank you all for tuning in. I have a little tear in my eye.
Oh, that's all right. It's okay to cry, Michael. Cry if you want, baby. I'm going to cry too. The both of us will just cry. And someone just called in from a 651 area code and hang up. Will you please call back? And you got to give me a little time to get to you because I do not want to cut in the middle of a conversation. So please call back. Now, you're working on the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, Michael.
What?
Kelly Hughes said you just did her hair.
She just left here at 6 o'clock, absolutely.
Oh, how wonderful. She needs to call in and tell the world about what you did to her hair. So call in, Kelly. Okay, we have a call, Michael. Would you give me a minute, please?
Certainly.
Caller, you're on the air. Would you state your name and where you're calling from? Your first three digits are 615.
My name is Marilyn Bennett, and I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, Marilyn.
Welcome to the Day Show.
Well, I'm enjoying today's show. I was surprised Michael's going to be the guest, and I did not want to miss this. My question is, I'm interested in hearing a little more about the book he's writing, and has he written other books that we aren't aware of?
Wonderful.
No, this is my first book. This is my pet project and stuff. And what it is basically, the title of it called The Cost of Living is basically that everyday living requires a cost, either in terms a cost of mind, a cost of spirit, a cost of soul. It's basically about Steve and I getting together, the diagnosis of his disease. He also has something called prothrombin 20210, which is a clotting disorder. So with the MS and his inactivity, he actually... his Coumadin levels went through the roof. Coumadin is what the blood thinner is, so he should be between 1.9 and 2. His was at 13.9, so he had actually his organs bleed out. He died on the table twice. They had to revive him twice. It was one of those the doctor actually came in and said it was 4:30 in the morning, and he says, you want to go ahead and call in the family. And I've never had to make that phone call before, and it was devastating. And it was almost like your brain splits in half at that point. So at that point, your learning becomes a little bit different. It becomes less shallow. It becomes less obsessed with material and more with sustenance, so to speak. So the book is basically how to get from that point to be a good caregiver, understand everything, be a good patient advocate. It's kind of a bit of a workbook, too, for those going through it for the first time, so you can journal and reflect back at your emotions. Because being a caregiver 24/7, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, it has its good days and its bad days. There are some days that I love Steve, but I just want to hold the pillow over his head. And I say that jokingly.
Yes.
No one send me no negative email. You know what I mean? It's the journey. Yeah, it's the journey. And that's kind of what the book is about.
Mm-hmm. I was caregiver to my sister for a while, and I kind of alternated. I got breaks, but I do know what you mean. It's all encompassing. But that will be a wonderful book, not only for the caregivers, but for the patients, because it will help patients to understand what their caregivers are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sick person they don't understand that. They're sick and they probably can't even think clearly to understand it.
Their concentration is on getting better. Their concentration is not on anything else, which is where the concentration should absolutely be, is on eternal health. But that also doesn't only come with the physical. It comes with the mental. When Steve was first diagnosed, he got very, very depressed, and he would go through these bouts. And I understood the bouts. But we had to have a dialogue saying, look, I will either give you one day a week to absolutely be totally down on this, or I'll give you a week a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you got to cram that all into there, because I'm not having a full month of absolute down depression. I can't do it. We have got to find
wonderful.
A better way.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like teamwork. Everything has to be teamwork. Mm-hmm. And that's to take the stress off of everyone. You hear of so many people who are the caregivers, and shortly after the other person either gets well or passes away, the caregiver dies because their bodies were broken down.
Yeah.
So that teamwork is so very important.
You know,
it's going to be a great book.
You know, the other thing, too, about caregivers, we are the industry needs to begin to screen caregivers differently. There are a lot of caregivers who are paid caregivers. I'm not mentioning about biological caregivers. But a lot of the paid caregivers are doing it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no passion there.
Right. They do not love. They have no love or bonding with that person.
That's right.
But we don't know. When we're not in the room, we don't know what's going on.
That's right. And it's a teamwork. It's, as you rightfully say, and Victoria is affirming, it's teamwork from the pharmacy to the doctors, all the other places, the therapists. Everybody needs to be a supporting team. Until you learn to do that, the caliber of service that the client is receiving is really going to be below par, because people need to be committed. You know, I am from a country where people are not too quick to put their old in an institution, or people who have special needs. They look and people would come out throughout the district and support them. And people need to get the information that they need so that they can do the best job that is needed. So, Marilyn, I want to thank you for calling in. And
well, it's an interesting show. Michael is so versatile. He has so much to offer. And I'm enjoying this show.
Okay.
So, Michael,
thank you, darling. I'm so jealous you got to see Shelley last night.
Incredible. Michael, I've spoken in my good voice. Now I'm going to give you my southern voice. Michael,
good.
It is so nice to talk to you on here, and I just love you so much. Now,
Marilyn,
that's how
I
really
you.
Talk.
You
all right.
Yay,
Victoria. Yay,
okay.
Michael. Yay, Daphne.
Marilyn.
I love you tons.
Victoria and I will have to stop this love fest between you and Michael. We are not having...
I'm looking forward to the rest of the show. Nice to meet you on here, Daphne.
Thank you. Thank
Goodbye.
You.
Goodbye.
Good night, Mary.
Good night, Marilyn.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, how lovely for somebody to call in and to support Michael. Let us hear from you. We still have a few minutes. So let us hear from you here. I am in conversation with Mr. Michael Kay, the man behind the mics at home with Victoria. So, Michael, after you're through publishing that book, do you have any other books in the oven?
You know what? I kind of would like to do, and if you can just follow me on this, I would like to do a group of children's books,
nice.
But I would like to do them from the point of view of childhood divorce.
That's a topic.
Yeah, I would like to, you know, I've tossed everything around from, you know, comedic styles of like, you know, why is mommy always crying or why is daddy always yelling kind of a thing. But I would like to go ahead and soften that edge about divorce, because sometimes divorce can be a blessing in disguise. It again is about the eternal spirit and the soul of people. Sometimes people grow apart, and we just have to go ahead and remove the painful stigma of it. Granted, it's emotional. Granted, it's convoluted. But the biggest thing is, especially with the children have to be nurtured and embraced and not treated like idiots. They have to actually have the questions answered that they want to really ask. Why is mommy always crying? You know what I mean? The kids have to know that.
That's right. There are, you know what is hindering a lot of the progress in that area is the shame that people walk around with. Oh,
I know.
Notice, a faith believer, I want to welcome you to the show. Yes, you know, there's too much shame, and that's what holds us back.
Yeah,
people need to get rid of the shame and let us start living, you know. Mm-hmm. Because we see today, we don't see tomorrow. And the longer we wallow in self-pity and the shame and everything, and the kids growing up never know what happened and all of that, we got to wake up and smell the roses and shed some light on what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know what? Funny, I just want to go ahead and mention this. After Steve got really sick, and he was actually, when he returned back from the hospital after he almost died and stuff, there was about probably 8 months where it was just, he couldn't get out of bed. Everything was very, very dark in the house. I felt guilty leaving the house except for, like, you know, errands and stuff. But I had eventually gotten up to, like, 80 pounds overweight. And I remember this clear as day. It was in February, and I was going to the fridge to get a cigarette, because of course I used to smoke, and I couldn't remember if it was my second or third pack that day, and I kind of had a little bit of a mental, like, oh my God, really? Like, are you that on autopilot that you're not even aware of what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of had a little bit of an impact, where the very next day I just started to walk. I just wanted to get out of the house. It was taking too much. I could actually leave the house for half an hour and when Steve was napping and make sure that everything was not bad or anything like that. And with doing that, I lost all the 80 pounds and then started to go ahead onto this whole different understanding of how much we eventually just stop thinking about ourselves. You know, you put everything else in the forefront. You put your job in the forefront, your family in the forefront, and you actually stop realizing that maybe you count in the equation as well. And that, I think, is really important to go ahead and realize that, granted, with either losing your job, I mean, I see so many those car truck things that transport cars, they come into the development and leave with the car. So there's repossessions happening all over. The depression of the area that I'm living in right now, I'm starting to really see it. So everybody has really got to think inside of what they really, truly want, not versus what they're trying to keep.
Exactly.
You know, if you're losing it, there may be a reason that you don't need it, you know, kind of a thing. It's that kind of thinking that I think needs to happen.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on something you say about thinking about what we really want, because I was listening to someone's show the other day, and she was making mention of greed, the greed that's going on with people, and people are complaining that they don't have, their second car is in the shop. And they're not thinking that there are some people that don't have a bus fare.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I know.
There's someone in the chat room that says that they are a child from a divorce union, and so is their grandchild, and that book is needed. So you better start writing, my brother. There's a pre-offer.
I certainly will.
While you take that, how long have you been part of At Home with Victoria?
I have been with Victoria now for, I believe, just a little bit over a year. Funny story. This is how I got to At Home with Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
During the Christmas season last year, someone had posted that they couldn't keep this kitten, and could we find a home for it and stuff. And we were kind of looking for another kitten and blah, 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 long story short. We ended up adopting the kitten. Mm-hmm. Through the adoption of the kitten, I got this plethora of fantastic friends in New York that I forgot about and reconnected with and stuff. Long story short, a friend of mine, Colin Lively,
mm-hmm.
who is from South Carolina and now living in New York. Colin is one of the he's a socialite hairdresser. He does the senators, the bankhead wives, the, you know, celebrities and stuff. He's that level of hairdresser and stuff. He's very, very fancy in New York, and he's a fantastic person, kindest heart. But anyways, he introduced me to this person named Anthony Mark Hankins. Anthony Mark Hankins is a fashion designer out of California and has this line on HSN actually coming up in February. I believe it's 22nd at 7 a.m. Don't ask me why I know that. I just know everything. Know everything about him. But funny thing is, I met Anthony. Anthony was going on Victoria's show. I listened to Anthony. I kind of made some, you know, cracks in the chat room and stuff like that. And then realized that Victoria's show was actually really good. You know, she was succinct. She was, you know, it was entertaining. Steve was always sleeping, so I had nothing else to do. So I kept logging onto her show in the chat room. And after a while, for a few nights, and then I missed a night because I was doing hair. And then she emails me back, and she says, you know, six people asked where you were last night. And I thought, oh, isn't that nice and everything like that. And so long story short, I became the chat room producer and then eventually worked with her on quite a few shows that we're very, very proud of. And, I'm loving the Victoria. I love doing the radio show. It's fantastic. I get to meet the most brilliant people like yourself, Daphne.
Okay.
And, you know, it's wonderful, and you can actually help out. This is what I love about Victoria's show, because there's not the edit down to the two-minute mark. You can actually have the full half hour or the full hour with the guests to actually find out what they're supporting, find out what they want to have their message to be as, and give them the venue that way. And we've made some fantastic connections with being Shelley Rand and Jay Qualls from The Next Great Baker, Jay Qualls doing the cake. That kind of interaction with Buttons Dixon, Mike Ruiz offered to do her CD photo shoot, which is an amazing thing for someone of his caliber to go ahead and do for a basically unknown person. But I love how Victoria can go ahead and mesh people together and help out, you know, kind of reach back and give someone a hand and say, hey, you know what, come on, let's actually do it.
Because you know the gift and the skills and the talents that God has blessed us with. It is not beneficial for us to keep it. We are supposed to be giving it away, or else we will not be adding to what we have.
Yeah.
And that's, if you begin to hoard it, then ain't nothing happening to you. But you start give, and you will be surprised to see what happens. I know you wear the title of entertainment director. However, if Victoria should remove that label off of there, and I would ask you after that label is removed to just explain to me how you see your role there at home with Victoria. What would that script look like, Michael?
It would work as it could be the Mick and Vic show. I'm just throwing it through. You know, she's in the chat room. She's going to give me crap about this. But you know what? I love my role currently as entertainment co-host. I absolutely love my role as producer. I enjoy it very much. I'm a detail-oriented person, so I'm kind of that person where I love doing the scripts for the shows. I love getting the guests together. I like finding the talent. I like finding undiscovered talent and getting on the ground floor, not to be a Johnny-come-lately once they're already famous, but I like to go ahead and have that first interaction where people are like SJ Acoustic and Joshua Stedman, who are just absolutely starting out, but they've also had 10 years of experience. You're very familiar with Khalil Gibran's book, The Prophet. Is that correct?
No, I'm not familiar with
it. I'm going to send it to you because he writes something in there to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing here, but it takes 10 years to be an overnight success, which I find fantastic because it really takes a decade to hone skills.
It takes a lifetime because we need to start to always be reinventing, because the minute we get comfortable, we have a caller. Caller, your first 301. Would you state your name and where you're calling from and your question or remark, please?
Hello, Daphne. Hello, Mr. Michael K. This is Cheryl Wood.
Hi.
Cheryl Wood. Hi.
Hi. You know what? This call is awesome. First of all, I met Michael through Victoria Gaither, the wonderful news lady, of course. And, oh, my goodness, it could not have been a more of a joy to get to know Michael. And I always see Michael from this funny side. He has a sense of humor that is just awesome, and I love it. But to hear you tonight speaking about some of the things that you've experienced and being a caretaker, and I had no idea about that side of you. So it's really nice to hear all of you and how you have become who you are. And let me tell you, Daphne, Michael is just, he's amazing because he doesn't just talk about supporting other people, he supports them. I'll never forget, Victoria had me on her show to announce when I launched my book. And Mr. Michael K here stepped up to the plate, and he actually ordered 20 copies of the book to gift to his friends.
Wonderful. What a blessing.
You tell me about support, right?
Yes. What a blessing. And that's
a true blessing.
Well, that speaks volume of the type of person he is, because there's a lot of us that talks the talk and talks the talk. And that's all that happens.
But Daphne, seriously, I mean, Cheryl Wood is so dynamic in so many things. I've read your book, Cheryl. I'm doing the journaling, even though I do find the value in journaling. However, I find that I still have to edit myself because, God forbid, I put down something in there I don't want anybody else to know, and then it's in writing and I've signed it, and then it's all screwed and stuff. But I have to tell you, your energy and your life source, and with the people you help, is what inspires me, and I'm not even baloney-ing you, because you are what really makes me want to be a better person in a lot of ways, because I see what you're doing with your organizations and with Moms Are the Best, and hats off to you, child. I applaud you, I adore you, and I just, and your twin sister as well, Cher. Just two fantastic people, Daphne, that you really have to, spotlight.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. I love you, Michael, and you deserve this spotlight at this moment, and I'm just so happy to be able to support. So thank you, Daphne. You know I adore you, too.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Miss Victoria, don't be jealous. Michael, Victoria is whining that she is still waiting for her book.
Oh, well, you know, when she gets here, she can pick it up.
That's seniority. Seniority has the privilege, you know? So grab the ticket behind me, Victoria. I'm up front. And so, isn't it wonderful to see, families having fun? Keep the lines. Thank you, Cheryl, for calling in.
Thanks, Cheryl, honey.
Thank you.
Forward to speaking with you real soon. Now I'm in conversation with Mr. Michael Kay from At Home with Victoria. That's how you all know him, but he is carving out a piece of America for himself tonight. And I'm so excited that he did it here on the A New Day show.
Thank you.
Now, what are some changes or addition, if any, would you like to see with the At Home at Victoria show?
We're doing a lot more on location things right now with Victoria that I'm able to. I now have a camera guy who is my nephew, Bradley, and he's an independent film maker who really is quite talented, so I'm very happy to be working with him. So he's going to be following him around to a few events in the area here. We're going to start off with the Indie Soap Awards going up to New York City on Monday, February 21st, which is President's Day. So we'll be taping there, filming the Indie Soap Awards. A good friend of mine, Steve Silverman, from the award-winning web series Pretty, will be there. Actually, Pretty, the web series, is up for 7 nominations as for Best Actor, Best Theme Song, Best Writing, Best Director. So I'll be happy to actually finally meet him. I've supported his show right from the very first episode, so I've been called a stalker, which, granted, maybe I enjoy it too much, but it's very funny. It's got a twisted sense of humor, which is kind of what I'm about, but very exciting to meet him, and also Aaron Brown, who has a show called Hot on the Red Carpet. It's on YouTube. You should go ahead and check it out, Daphne.
I saw that. I think I saw it when they were doing, is it Sex in the City or something?
Yeah, that was, Victoria did that one. Aaron Brown...
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Brown in California, she has a red bath mat that she takes to things like the Grammys and the Emmys and the Oscars and stuff. And sometimes she gets legitimate big stars like Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson. But sometimes she just invites anybody on the red carpet who's just passing by. So it's more of a comical, lyrical edge. And she's actually going to be in New York, too, on February 21st. So we're going to have a War of the Worlds kind of entertainment segment where she'll interview me, I'll interview her, and then we'll go ahead and cut to the actual stars of that night's show. But I'm very, very excited to go ahead and be representing Home with Victoria at that event.
Right. You affirmed something just now that I've been observing, because as I listened to Victoria's show, and for those that I have listened live, and I'm in the chat room, that's the passion and energy that I've seen exuded, I hear coming out of you now. So you are real, you are authentic, you know? That's such a powerful thing, because it doesn't matter what team you're on, you must always give your 150% without asking, what's in it for me. You should be there because your soul is connected to it, not because you are being paid X amount of dollars to do that. but because
right.
you can add value and bring changes to other people's lives. So I want to just thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
For that. For, excuse me, for that boy or girl who is listening to the show, whether live or from the archives, and they are uncertain of what's going on with their sexuality, if you would pass some insight to them and have them create a checklist of 5 most important points to keep them sane and to help them to build that strength. Because we do not want to lose another teenager from bullying.
Yeah.
What would that list look like, Michael, please?
Well, number one would be to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. If you can't talk to your parents, or if you can't talk to your priest, or if you can't talk to a police officer, find someone you can. The bad thing about that is you have to find someone you do trust.
Exactly.
So you are going to have to trust yourself enough to know that your questions that you have, number two, are authentic. Number three, you are valued. Number four, you are honored. And number five, you are capable of doing anything you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in the forefront. And if I can add a six, just also find some faith. I'm not concerned if someone believes in God or Buddha or what it is. Find spirituality. Find something that means more than what you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Find something that means more inside, where you can always. You know, I met this little boy back in. Oh, he was 18. I think I was 24. He was the smartest 18-year-old I ever knew. And he says, if you really want to try and help yourself, make the hand you write with, mine's right, make the hand you write with your adult, and the hand you don't write with your child. And when you go to bed at night, hold your hand for at least 5 minutes, kind of a thing, and just believe in yourself to know that you will have the internal power
mm-hmm.
to know right from wrong, to know good from bad, and to always love yourself a little bit. And that's kind of always transcended into my life. He was just the smartest old man I ever met in my life. But I still do it to this day. When I find that I'm shaken, or if I'm scared myself, I find that my adult hand believes that everything's for a reason and you will learn from this. You don't have to repeat it. If you find the pearl of wisdom, just understand that you're part of your own recovery. You're part of your own wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Michael, I think that number 6 deserves repeating. Would you repeat that slower so that they'll be able to write that down?
Seriously, what did I say? I can't remember now.
About the right hand being the adult, the left hand being the child.
Yeah, the hand you write with becomes your adult hand. The hand you don't write with becomes your child hand, because everybody has their adult and their child. Everybody's a child at heart. I don't care what anybody says, but there are certain responsibilities and things you have to go through in life where your adult hand has to be basically the hand that writes the checks. So So you take your writing hand into your non-writing hand, and you just basically reaffirm yourself that the adult will always take care of the child within, and you'll be fine. Trust your heart, trust your soul, trust your vision, and find your passion. You have to really be quiet. Again, this is why I love your show so much, too, because you are a strong advocate of being quiet. If you can be quiet for even like 5 minutes a day, or even 1 minute a day, start small, but just realize what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes just that can make such a difference in how you perceive your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, I did these past 21 days, I did something amazing for myself. I subscribed to the Trover Center. They had a 21-day meditation challenge, excuse me. And I had meditated sporadically, you know. And I tell you, I joined on for this 21 day, and it was the best thing that I did for myself. So it get me grounded. It got me centered. Some healing and clearing and all of that thing happened. So it is powerful. I am such an advocate for journaling and also for taking quiet times, because especially as women, we always think we got to be running to go do something. You know, we cannot sit down. We begin to feel guilty. We got to go mend the husband's shirt, or we got to fix his dinner. We got to do that. And I mean, your hair is nappy all day. You haven't done it. So you have to learn to do something for you. I want to welcome, I'm coming to you, caller. I see you there. But I want to take this opportunity to welcome guest number 20221. Welcome to the show. And listen, guys, I am always looking for guests on the Sunday segments. The Sunday segments of my show deals with life issues, whether you invent your life, whether you overcame obstacles, or if you just have an amazing life story to share, versus my Wednesday segments deals with the empowerment, inspiration, and education of entrepreneurs and small business people. The phone number to call in is 646-915-8166. Caller, your last three digits are 2122. Would you state your name and where you're calling from and your question, please? Hello, caller. Are you just listening, or you would like to say something? Hello? I think they're just listening. Okay. All right, Michael.
I think that's my mother. Are the last? Is the phone number 306-547-2122?
Yes.
That's my mother. Mother, just press 1 and go into the queue, for God's sake. She's so shy, Daphne, but she's the most delightful person, and actually my spiritual connection to everything. She's the one who actually gave birth to me, and I love her millions. So, Sonia, press 1.
I put her on the air. Mother Kay, we want to hear from you. Is she still in Canada?
She is. She's still living in Priestville, Saskatchewan, actually.
Oh, that's wonderful. That means she listens to the show and everything. I'm very sweet, Mother Kay, so say something. I'm the nicest gal you could encounter. So, let me hear from you.
I said hello.
Oh, there she is.
Hello?
Hello, how are you? You're on the air. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
I'm Michael's mother.
Oh, well, welcome, Mrs. K, to the show. We are so honored that you joined us. Do you have any dirt on this man you want to tell us?
Any dirt?
Uh-huh.
No way.
Well, let's show the brother some love, then.
Well, he gets all my love.
Oh, how wonderful, how wonderful. You did well growing an amazing man, and we want to thank you for sharing him with us here in the USA.
Well, and thank you.
Oh, spill some
very,
beans.
Very
Come on,
person.
Sonia.
Hmm?
I said, spill some beans, baby. It's just us on the radio. There's only, like, you know, a couple thousand people, or 22,000 people listening. No one's actually paying any attention.
And
so
nobody,
go ahead and spill that.
You are among friends. You can tell us anything.
Yeah, but if I do, who knows what could happen?
You can't do anything worse than what already happened before you came on. You should have heard what other people told about him.
Oh, my God.
So you can't do any harm?
I can't. No, oh. I've already done it.
How so?
I gave birth.
Oh, my heaven.
Oh, if she, you know, she'll tell you this story, too, where when she gave birth to me, that when I came out, I ripped her. There was 108 stitches, and, you know, she was in labor for 26 hours. And, you know, it's that childbirth guilt that I have to deal with, you know, every year. But, Mom, I really applaud your strength, and I thank you so much for coming on. I know this is hard for you because my mom's very shy. She's loved in her town by everybody, but she never toots her own horn. So I'll just toot her horn saying, Mom, I love you, and I really honor you. You did a great job.
Thank you, and I love you too, and I'm going to let you carry on now. I'll talk to you another time.
Mrs. K, wait, somebody has a question. Don't go just yet, ma'am. Someone in the chat room wants to know, what was Michael like as a boy?
Uh-oh.
He was great. He was very good. Very good boy, just like his mom.
Well, we thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
now.
Mom. Here's the
I love you, honey.
Love you, too.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wonderful. What?
You know, she's not that shy. She talks a lot. I don't know why she froze up on the air, but yeah.
Don't be beating up on your mama now. She spent money.
Oh, no, never.
She made a long-distance call for you, so be grateful.
I am, eternally and all the time.
Oh, how wonderful. But that was such a blessing for her to call. And while the others just hang in the chat room, and they don't want to say a single word. So, again, I want to remind them that the number is 646-915-8166. And give us a call here. We are winding down, and I am just praying that Michael had half the fun like I did. I just had a ball, and I just want to thank all the people that came out in support of Michael being here. And if you have not yet, have me as a friend on Facebook and Twitter and on the Blog Talk Radio. Please stop by and show the sister some love. Leave a comment on that the show page, and let people know about what your thoughts are about this segment and the conversation between Michael and myself. Now, Michael, what do you do for fun?
I'm a big fan of karaoke. I have a big fan. Yeah, I am a big fan of karaoke. So we have, I have a lot of friends in the music industry. So when they're in town, they can stop by and we get together and do some jams. Basically, I enjoy thinking positive. I think it's necessary and essential to go ahead and do that. I'm just kind of floored. I've never experienced so much love here in the chat room, and with my mother calling in, you have no idea how hard that was for my mother. She's in a state too, but this has been fantastic, Daphne, and I do radio for fun. I like to call it play radio, and I don't take it seriously. I don't want to. I don't want it to become a big hindrance where it's the 9-to-5 grind. We get to do fantastic guests again, and it's just this is my new passion, and I hope to go ahead and help others with a little bit of guidance and a little bit of knowledge. And I by no means, I was smarter at 18 than I am at 42. I think the older we get, the more we don't want to realize that we do know things. So it's one of those things where I just kind of just enjoying everything that's happening right now, Daphne. Getting to talk to you and getting to talk to your audience is quite a pleasure. I'm just really enjoying the ride.
Wonderful. And there's someone in the chat room, too, who also does karaoke. And some people in the chat room is asking Steve that, seeing that Mother Kay did not spill the bean and all the dirt on you, they want Steve to call in and do the honors. So is Steve willing to call in to do us the honors?
No, his hands are tied and he's in the closet. There's no way I'm letting him out to go ahead and spill any beans on anything. Steve, Daphne, when you get to know Steve, Steve has a great sense of humor, and this is why I've been with him for 13 years. He's a great source of communication, and I'm really proud to call him partner. But Steve will spill the beans. Don't fret. Don't worry. He'll certainly call in at a different date.
Yes, I want to welcome KYX Grassroots Radio. Thanks for your support. And I don't think I miss anybody else. I'm wondering, where did the time go? Because we are down to our last 15 minutes. So
I know. Wow.
If you are looking to call in, now is the time. You don't want to go to bed and beat up on yourself and say, man, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I didn't. So just pick the phone up now and call. The number is 646-915-8166. And this is Dynamic Daphne with the handsome, amazing, and talented Michael K.
Michael K. You're so kind.
Yeah. Huh?
You're so kind, my love. I love. And you know what? I so enjoy your accent. When we were down in Jamaica, we were there for like 10 days the first day, the first time, I think 12 days the next day. But, oh, my goodness, I just love trying to mimic the lyrical Montego Bay accent. I just loved it so very much. It's so kind. It's so honoring. It's so special. You know what I mean?
Yes, we are special. You know, somebody once introduced me to somebody and said I was a motivational speaker, and the lady looked at me and she said, oh, you're like Les Brown. I said, no, ma'am. It only happens that Les is a motivational speaker, and so am I. But I said, ain't nobody in this world can do Daphne like Daphne do Daphne, because they don't have my sweetness, and they don't have my melodious voice, and they don't have all this spice and sunny personality. She cracked out laughing. She was laughing so hard. You know, because in this world, we got to know who we are. So, Steve is not calling in, and Victoria is not calling in. So, hey, I'm here juggling. I'm here juggling. Who's calling in? Somebody.
Yeah, Victoria, come on, pick up the phone. The news lady loves to talk. I don't know why she's not dialing in.
I'd like to know to hear the news lady's voice. Up in here. So while the news lady is dialing, Michael, would you give out the contact information? And you're just doing pre-editing, so you're not ready for pre-orders yet. And you
right.
don't have any idea when. But give out the information up at home with Victoria, and give out your social media information, please.
Absolutely. You can go ahead and tune into At Home with Victoria on scattered dates. We go ahead and post them by 11 a.m. In the morning. You can go ahead and contact www.blogtalkradio.com/Victoria-Gaither. You'll find At Home with Victoria there. You can also find us on Twitter, iTunes, and Reverb Nation. You can go ahead and contact me on Reverb Nation for concert bookings and interview bookings at reverbnation.com/Michael K, co-host on @homewithvictoria.com. I don't know why I made that title so long. It's so hard to type in, and then I forget my password and all that stuff. But quite frankly, it's a great source of social networking on Reverb Nation. I get the hottest acts coming out of Miami, Chicago, Florida, Minneapolis, New York. Really, really proud of everything At Home with Victoria does.
Okay, thank you. And we have a drum roll, please.
Okay.
A drum roll, please, for the news lady. Hello, madam lady.
Well, hello, everyone. Do I get my drum roll? That's awesome.
Oh, yes, you did, girlfriend. They rolled that drum.
Well, listen, first of all, of course, I have been here listening throughout the entire show. And first of all, I just have to say, the wonderful and lovely Daphne, it is totally different to be on the flip side, to listen to somebody else interviewing someone that is so dear and special to me. So I want to commend you because I have learned a lot about Michael Kay in this interview that I simply didn't know myself. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, God is good because it's not me, Victoria, you know? It's not me because I tell people and they don't understand, and sometimes I don't even understand.
You don't understand.
I didn't give, we did not pre-arrange questions and anything. This is all from the soul. And,
yes.
And the soul delivers. There's no
yes.
mistake. You know?
Well, and you know, I find too that those are the best kind of interviews, the ones that you actually do from your soul and that you don't have to pre-rehearse every single thing that you want to do and what you want to talk about. But Michael is just, my goodness, you know, he has become somebody who I rely on tremendously in my life. He is my right hand. He is my friend. You know, he's every single thing that a person can ask for. But what's interesting about Michael was that I asked him to be my producer, and, you know, Daphne and all of the listeners, I wasn't really sure that he was going to accept and say yes. So when he actually said yeah, of course, I was really, really happy about that. But something that Michael did not know, I had been, once I became friends with him on Facebook, I had always in the back of my mind had been wanting someone to come on from time to time to co-host shows with me. So I was looking for that person. I had, you know, just a lot of people who are already in the television business that's been in the business for 15, 17 years that would email me and say, hey, can I co-host with you? Can I be on the show? So I had already been thinking about that, but every person that I talked to and that I had been going through, nobody was what I considered a right fit for me. But that was, again, something that Michael didn't know. So I had already sort of had in my head that I thought that he was going to be a great candidate to be an entertainment co-host, because one thing that anybody who knows Michael knows, he loves details, he likes planning, but also he had no idea that I was going to ask him if he wanted that job with At Home with Victoria. He just simply thought that he was going to be my producer and that was it. But, you know, the whole time behind the scenes, I was listening to Michael. I was, you know, watching what he was doing on Facebook, how he interacts with people, where his spirit was coming from. So it was literally once I asked him to become the producer, I want to say, Michael, it was probably less than a month that you became entertainment co-host. So it didn't take long for that to happen because, you know, all that time, I was already looking for somebody, but Michael never knew anything about this, and he just simply didn't know any of it was going on. So I think that also is a really good lesson to people that you never know who's
That's
watching
right.
you, who's listening to you for a position or for whatever out there, you know?
Exactly. Exactly, because, you know, they say, when I was growing up, they always say, it's who you know, but I think that has changed drastically. It is now who knows you and what they know about you.
Good
and
point.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Important, and we got to remember, especially now with the affluence of social media.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
have your antennas up there, you know?
Yes, yes. And it's interesting because Michael and I, of course, behind the scenes when you know, we have conversations all the time about the show, what we want to do and how we can make it better. So it was in December, Michael, I think it was, I don't know if it was before or after Christmas, and I kind of had a list of goals that I wanted, you know, Michael to kind of focus on because, I found out later that broadcasting was something that he's always wanted to do. So for me, I like to balance the time between giving him skills as a producer but also giving him the on-air time that he needs to get the experience that he needs
right.
to do, you know, because eventually, you know, he's going to leave me one day. It won't be anytime soon, though, and, you know, he'll be doing his own thing. So, you know, it's just really important to me that I make sure that I give him all the skills and things that he needs to do that. So one of the skills that I said, you know, I really want for you for this upcoming year that you go on location and that you do more things out in the community and do reports and things of that sort. And lo and behold, it was the new year comes, and all of a sudden, right in his own backyard, the gentleman who just won the Great Next Baker, his name escapes me at this point. Michael can certainly tell
David
you,
Herbert.
But Michael, yeah. Yeah, Dana Herbert. Michael goes there, and he covers this event. And I was biting my fingers while you were talking because he neglected to tell you, Daphne, and all the listeners, that he got so many response and hits from YouTube. Michael, I'll let you go ahead and tell the story because this was a really good story. So you finish from there.
Yeah, it was kind of cool because
thank you so much, Victoria.
Because what happened was this, the covering of Dana Herbert, actually, YouTube sent me a message saying, hey, do you want to opt into revenue sharing? Because, I mean, it's only, I think I only have like 1,600 hits on that one video alone. And it was just all, you know, photos that I shot. But the good thing was is that 1,570 people actually tuned into Dana Herbert and really helped to go ahead and support him. And it's been lovely, and quite frankly, just to go ahead and do an offshoot here, I know we're running out of time, but Victoria, you've taught me so much. This has been a cavalcade of emotion and thrill, and the finest part of the internship into the christening to actually trying to do at Home with Victoria a little bit different. I love the talks that we go ahead and have on production. We really try hard to go ahead and produce a quality product for everybody to go ahead and listen to, because there are so many people out in the Blog Talk Radio network that are doing the same thing, and it's truly a gift of mine, and I'm really happy that my radio wife called in, because if she didn't, I would have actually done some damage. But
Fine. Yeah.
Daphne, Victoria's a wonderful mentor, my friend, and I love her dearly.
That's right. And I tell you, when you have stimulating dialogue, you never have enough time. I want to thank all the many people who came out in support of Michael. I want to thank you, all the people who took time to call in. Mother Kay out of Canada, thank you for calling in. And Victoria, what you are doing with the internship for Michael speaks volume towards the leader that you are. Because a lot of people think they need to hold on to what they have and not pass it on. But I tell you, you must share. Because as you share, then more is added to you. When you hoard it, you stifle and suffocate what is there. So I thank you. I just feel so honored to know each of you. I follow you on the social media. I watch your work. And it's just an honor for me to know you. And I look forward to the opportunities where I can add value to your vision. And
well, you add value just by you've certainly added value just to me, just by the mere fact that Cheryl Wood put us in connection with each other. So you've done great value to me already, and I thank you.
Thank you so much. Michael, one last statement.
I would like just to thank everybody in chat tonight, everybody who's listening. I'd like to thank my mother. I would like to thank Victoria Gaither, and thank you, Daphne. I really am so excited to see where this whole experience will take everyone, because everybody's got a message, and I honor you, Daphne, for taking the high road and producing light and love for everybody, because that really is what will go ahead and make everything happen. Vic, I love you tons. I know you're actually up there skiing, too, in Deep Creek, which I'm totally jealous, you crazy lady.
All right. Goodbye. I've got to go now. I'm back to skiing. Bye-bye. Love you.
Love you.
Thank you all so much for joining the show. And Michael Kay, we will be in touch. And listen,
will be. I would like to go ahead and have you on, not to cut you off, but I would like to go ahead and have you on at Home of Victoria coming up in March, the third week in March, starting the 14th. So you pick a date, and I want you to come on our show and experience the At Home with Victoria experience, as well as share your light and your wisdom with our audience. I would love it, Daphne.
Thank you so much. And I want to remind you all that you have a destiny. Do not allow anyone to derail you. Love you, Michael. Love you guys. That's in the cut.
Love you, Tom. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.